This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for your love, which has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Help us to recognize that love deep within us, to recognize your Spirit speaking through us, and then give us, we ask, the courage to speak the truth in love and the compassion to follow in your way. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated if you aren't already. I heard this quote this week, and it's just stuck with me all week, and it's perfect for today. And it's by Vance Havner. What is down in the well will come up in the bucket. What is down in the well will come up in the bucket. What we hold deep in our hearts, way deep in our well, is what we express in our lives. And if, as our scripture today tells us, if we can yield to the love of God which has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then God's love is to be expressed in our lives. This is who we truly are meant to be, my friends. We just have to prime that well quite frequently for myself, I know. What is down in the well comes up in the bucket. A friend sent me a picture this week of a scene from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood where Officer Clemens and Mr. Rogers are in the swimming pool. I don't know if you remember it, if you're old enough to remember like me. And they are sitting there, and it was quite revolutionary in that time. And as you probably know, Mr. Rogers was a Methodist minister who chose to express his ministry in children's television. I did a little searching, and I found this great clip that certainly expresses this message, this gospel for today's world. Let's watch.
Nearly everyone remembers Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this.
But not everyone knows that this cardigan-clad king of children's TV, Fred Rogers, was actually a pioneer who challenged racial stereotypes in media. Enter Francois Clemens.
Francois Scarborough Clemens.
And his role as Officer Clemens made him one of the first recurring black characters on a children's TV show.
When I started, there were two, three shows, period, on television that employed a black character.
Francois grew up during the Civil Rights Movement and times of great racial tension in the U.S.
So when Fred asked me to be a police officer, Fred, are you sure? Do you know what policemen represent in the community where I was raised? And then he started talking about children needing helpers and the positive influence that I could have for young children. My heart opened as I listened to him.
He accepted the role, not knowing he would end up playing Officer Clemens for 30 years. And one of his most memorable scenes is also one of his favorites.
There are many ways to say I love you.
It's a very big deal for me to be putting my feet in the water with Fred.
During a time of segregation, the symbolism wasn't lost on Francois.
To say that he didn't know what he was doing, or that he accidentally stumbled into integration or talking about racism or sexism, that's not Mr. Rogers. It was well planned and well thought out, and I think it was very impactful.
There are many ways to say I love you.
That impact was felt by many, but for Francois, it was personal.
I was in the studio one day. That particular day, he was filming the end of the show, and when he got to the part, he said, "You make every day a special day."
You know how? By just your being you.
And I swear it was like just looking right into my eyes. And when the music stopped, I said, "Fred, were you talking to me?" And he said, "Yes." I have been talking to you for years, but you heard me today.
You heard me today. Just by being you, the real you, deep down in that well, a child of God. And that's when the Holy Spirit can course through you, can course through me, by being our real selves. What is down in the well comes up in the bucket. The good news is that if we find that down in that well we're not feeling so great, maybe we're discouraged or lonely, maybe we feel vulnerable, raw, sad, prejudiced, there's always hope in that suffering to shift down a little deeper to our true selves, how we are meant to be as children of God, as followers of the love of Christ. And we can dig down until we find that, and if we don't, then we can continue to ask and to seek and to knock, have counseling with a good therapist or friend, and all the while praying and praying and praying, and you will find it. It may take a while, but you will. We are the only ones who can be us, as Mr. Rogers says. We are the only ones who can open our hearts to more and more love and compassion in this world, both for ourselves and for others and all of creation. Jesus teaches this in today's Gospel. He teaches us about going out with compassion. And we then could be the hands and the hearts of Jesus in this world. Our gospel for today from Matthew is called the Missionary Discourse. It's the marching orders for Jesus' disciples, that were many, and also to the 12 apostles. It was the teaching of Christ then, and it is the teaching of Christ today for us to live out God's mission, not the church's mission, not my mission, but God's mission. That's what the church's mission is. And in today's world, especially as we have to continue to limit our interaction with one another, this is a perfect time, in this time of COVID, to realize that Corona is like a halo. And that can be a reminder to us to go deep, to dig deep into that well, and to be able to prime it if we need to take that deep dive within ourselves and search out our own racism, our own prejudice, our own pride. We are all witnessing a huge movement in our land for racial equality in light of the many, many killings and culminating in the George Floyd killing. This time feels different somehow, many people are saying. Maybe this time we've reached a tipping point. Because I have my own humbling to do, because I want to learn to listen as a white woman to what I don't know, to what I have no idea about in this world, then I need to take a look at that. So I decided to reach out to several black people that I know, many who I consider friends. And one of those that responded was our own Michael McLemore, a vestry member, an usher, member of the Brotherhood of St. Andrews. And the picture that you see here is of Michael and his two little girls, Mackenzie and Michaela, and I wish that his lovely wife was in it. I'm sure Jessica was taking the picture. He wrote me an email, and he gave me permission to read what he wrote. My question was, what kind of advice do you give to white people and to people of all races? And this is what Michael wrote. Hey, Wendy, thank you for your interest in doing this. As a black man from the South, I thank God I had parents that kept me aware enough of my blackness and all that it means. I'm going to forego the eloquence and speak plainly and from the heart. I was taught we had to work twice as hard to have the same shot in life. As someone who frequently dated outside my race, I was taught I had to be extra careful in public lest I get arrested or killed by some angry white man. My best friend's brother shared with me that he hated seeing a black man with a white woman. I have been in situations where women have clutched their purse, and I have been followed in department stores. I have been called the N-word directly and indirectly. I have been subject to all the implicit and explicit bias we so often hear about now. I could go on. Imagine the anxiety all this has caused and is causing less fortunate black men than me all over the country. And now, imagine 1940s Memphis, Tennessee, and Birmingham, Alabama, where my mom and dad grew up, respectively. My advice to white people is to get to know black people, not just surface level. Instead of reading a novel about Ronald Reagan, read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Instead of reading poetry by Walt Whitman, read some by Langston Hughes. Instead of listening to European composers such as Beethoven and Bach, check out great American composers like Duke Ellington and Count Basie. The list goes on and on. We all want the same thing: to earn a fair wage in order to take care of our families and realize the American dream. When the slaves came over on the Mayflower, they were not allowed to read or write, but the one thing they had was religion. My faith, which has passed down, is often shaken and frequently tested, but I know it is by faith and the grace of God that I have overcome the circumstance of my, quote, special heritage, end quote. I believe this is an inflection point in our country. I believe there are more people of goodwill, both black and white, than ill will. I believe this country will live up to its promise, and I believe we will all overcome. Thank you, Michael McLemore. And I thank you, Michael, for having the courage to allow me to share this with all. It taught me. Maybe, just maybe, things are changing if we're willing. A beginning. Maybe, just maybe, we have reached a tipping point where we join with one another in compassion and love and new laws, new ways of being in this world. Maybe. One powerful way is to continue to pray and sing the words and say the words of a great song written in 1899 by James Weldon Johnson. It was in 1899 that this young poet and school principal, you see on the screen, James Weldon Johnson, was asked to address a crowd in Jacksonville, Florida, for the coming anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And just two decades had passed since the Reconstruction era, and lynchings were on the rise in the segregated South. Instead of preparing an ordinary speech, Johnson decided to write a poem. He began with a simple but powerful line, a call to action: lift every voice and sing. He paced back and forth on his front porch, agonizing over the lines of the poem, and after finishing each stanza, he handed over the lyrics to his classically trained brother, John Rosamond Johnson, who put the words to music. According to an account from James Weldon Johnson, recalled in a great book by Shanna Redmond, as he wrote the words evoking the struggle and resilience of his ancestors, he began to weep. And he said, "I could not keep back the tears and made no effort to do so." The following year, a chorus of 500 school children performed the song at the Lincoln celebration, and the song quickly took off, becoming a rallying cry for black communities in the South, or as one observer noted at the time, a collective prayer. Many now look to this poem, this song, as a prayer for all of us. I invite you to say it with me as the words appear on this screen, praying for this moment in time, in our country, and in the world, as a prayer for all that we're experiencing today. Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise
high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea.
Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us.
Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us.
Facing the rising sun of our new day begun,
let us march on till victory is won.
Stony the road we trod,
bitter the chastening rod,
felt in the days when hope unborn had died.
Yet with a steady beat,
have not our weary feet
come to the place for which our fathers sighed.
We have come over a way that with tears has been watered.
We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered,
out from the gloomy past,
till now we stand at last,
where the white gleam of our bright star is cast.
God of our weary years,
God of our silent tears,
Thou who hast brought us thus far on the way,
Thou who hast by Thy might
led us into the light,
keep us forever in the path we pray,
lest our feet stray
from the places our God where we met Thee,
lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world,
we forget Thee.
Shadowed beneath Thy hand,
may we forever stand
true to our God,
true to our native land.
Amen. We must stand together as sisters and brothers, or perish as fools. Amen.